speculation continues to grow that Belarus will commit troops to Russia's war against Ukraine.
European foreign ministers will discuss possible sanctions on Belarus after protests over Sunday's disputed election entered a fifth night. Police have used live bullets against protesters in the southwestern city of Brest. The former Soviet Republic is often referred to as Europe's last dictatorship. The country has been ruled for more than 25 years by one man.
But Alexander Lukashenko says he's not going anywhere.
President Lukashenko, in power for 26 years, won a sixth term in office with 80% of the votes. Protests have broken out for the last two nights, sparking violent clashes with police.
The opposition candidate in Belarus's presidential election has fled the country after she disputed an election result she claimed was rigged.
Belarusian authorities ordered a state-sponsored hijacking. Yesterday, a civilian airliner was forced to land in Minsk so authorities could arrest a journalist who had been critical of the regime.
Meanwhile, the Belarusian president Alexander Lukashenko is threatening to ask for nuclear weapons to be sent from Russia.
Back in 2020, Belarus was all over the international headlines after authoritarian president Alexander Lukashenko rigged his sixth straight election and then arrested everybody who opposed him. Then at the start of this year, Belarus was in the press for all the wrong reasons. Again, when Lukashenko offered up his country as a staging ground for Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine. But Belarus is in the headlines less these days, and that's understandable, especially in light of the last 2 weeks, as the Ukrainian army have scored a stunning victory in eastern Ukraine. In a lightning advance that some fighters on the ground are calling the Ukrainian Blitz, professional soldiers and volunteers took back 6,000 square kilometres of their homeland in the country's northeast. And the most striking thing isn't the volume of territory they've won back. It's how comprehensively they've routed the Russian army. In Kharkiv, where Ukrainian forces launched a ferocious assault on what are meant to be some of the Russian army's most elite units, some officers stripped the Russian insignia from their uniforms as they fled the battlefield. And while the Ukrainians captured a vast arsenal of artillery and heavy weapons, they also dispossessed the Russians of the most important thing in any fight. The initiative.
Joining us now is retired U.S. Army General David Petraeus, former commander of U.S. Central Command. He's also the former director of the CIA.
I'm normally fairly guarded and cautious about this, but the tide clearly has turned. Ukraine will, over time, retake the territory that Russia has seized. It's even conceivable now that they could retake Crimea and the Donbass. And oh, by the way, Russia, even if it declared mobilization today, could not reverse this fundamental reality.
In this series of episodes of The Intersection, we're going to examine the conflict currently metastasizing around Eastern Europe. And while we will be going to Ukraine, we're going to start off in the Białowieża Forest on the border of Poland and Belarus.
Developing this morning, thousands of people stranded at the border between Belarus and Poland, caught in the middle of an intensifying geopolitical dispute.
This week, thousands of refugees from across the developing world tried to enter Poland by crossing its border with Belarus.
EU leaders had previously accused Lukashenko of waging hybrid warfare by using a migrant strategy in response to the bloc sanctions.
Just as Vladimir Putin invaded Ukraine, Belarus's president, Alexander Lukashenko, deliberately engineered an immigration crisis on the Poland-Belarus border. Belarus actively sought out asylum seekers from places like Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan, and promised them safe passage to the European Union if they flew to Minsk. But it was a lie.
Attention, the police in Poland. Illegal border crossing is forbidden. You will face criminal charges.
Instead, Lukashenko had constructed a new type of diplomatic weapon. And the ammunition to be loaded into its breech was with some of the most vulnerable people in the world.
This humanitarian crisis in Belarus is now a physical assault. Migrants in desperate conditions here are trying to force their way in, hurling rocks at Polish border guards who are pushing back. They're pushing back hard.
I tell you, the tension has really started to raise here. Throwing stones, breaking down the fences here, furious that they're not being allowed in to the European Union.
And after Lukashenko dumped thousands of migrants on their border with Belarus, the populist right-wing government of Poland, led by Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki, took their cues from the other side of the Atlantic. They decided to build a wall.
Poland's Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki has claimed the migrant standoff seen during the winter months was the first sign of Russia's intentions to stage a war. And now the Polish PM says the decision to build a 5-meter-high barrier to prevent illegal migration into Poland will have a significant impact on the security of the entire Eastern European country.
Morawiecki closed the entire area around the border to the press and non-government organisations for 12 months while the fence was constructed. And then 2 weeks ago, he hosted a press conference standing right next to it. And he said that now it was complete, the crisis was averted.
The general has shown me how we are protecting the borders here. The cases of crossing here are very rarely single individual attempts.
But many dispute the Polish PM's claims that the fence has stopped the flow of illegal migrants from Belarus. And the following day, I accompanied two Polish aid workers into the forest.
I'm Jack Wright. Nice to meet you. I'm from Australia.
Oh,
nice to meet you. Thank you very much for allowing me to join you today. I think there's a lot to report.
We're just discussing the place where I'm going to just keep you out, car, because you have to do it very quickly.
I'll just follow you.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, people with big rucksacks look suspicious. So it's not only the border guards and police, but also regular people.
We'll report.
No, dobra, możemy szybko.
Is that a GPS?
Prime Minister Morawiecki is lying. In the forest straddling the border, in a tangle of marshland and ancient oaks that refugees have come to call the Polish jungle, an unknown number of asylum seekers from all around the world are fighting for their lives.
Yeah, that's him, yeah.
My name is Jack.
So much cold here.
This is same like this.
The aid workers search for refugees trapped in the forest and bring food and warm drinks in their rucksacks. And because at the outset of the crisis, most refugees arriving were from the Middle East, they took to carrying flasks of that super sweet chai tea, popular with Afghans, Syrians, and Iraqis. But three of these men were from Tajikistan, and apparently they like it there too.
Where are you from?
I'm from Tajikistan, Pamir.
Tajikistan.
Pamir. Yeah, chai.
Chai.
By 16.
You had no chai.
Thanks, brother.
All right. You're welcome. Thank these guys, not me.
Despite the fence's completion, Lukashenko hasn't stopped funneling asylum seekers to the border, where Belarusian guards beat them over the fence in the middle of the night. And if they're caught by Polish forces patrolling the forest on the other side, they're shoved straight back through padlock gates in the fence, straight into the clutches of the Belarusian guards who beat them straight back over it again. We found four men who said they'd been pushed back to Belarus, only to be forced into Poland again. Six times.
How long has it taken you to get here?
6 days.
6 days.
6 days. Moscow, Belarus, Granita, Poland.
From Tajikistan to Moscow, Belarus, and then Poland. Granita means border.
It's Poland, it Poland, bed, it Belarus, bed.
They heard you kick. Poland. They heard you.
Yeah? So much.
Which soldiers? Poland?
Well, come back again.
Yeah.
So much beating.
They beat you up. Sorry. Can you walk? His ankle doesn't look good.
Three of the men were from Tajikistan, but they communicated mostly through the fourth, who had the best command of English. He was a 22-year-old Indian man from Gujarat named Muhammad. Muhammad arrived in Belarus with 11 friends and family. And in the course of being forced over the wall, he lost track of every single one of them. But like any good son of the subcontinent, he still wanted to talk about cricket.
India like cricket.
Yeah.
Me too. Australia, I love cricket. You guys are very good at
cricket. Yeah.
And all the best players. Sachin Tendulkar, yeah. Rahul Dravid,
yes.
Vivius Laxman.
Yeah. That was good.
They're very good.
Pakistan and India match. For the Asian World Cup.
It's a...
And win.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah, I saw.
And the story of how he got there was harrowing.
Did you guys meet while you were meet out here? Or did you know these guys before? Or you meet them trying to cross?
I don't know them.
Yeah.
I will come Belarus.
Mm.
And then they will come with me.
Yeah.
I have more friends. 12 people. Where, I don't know.
How did you end up in Belarus? How did you leave India?
Belarus, like my friend, he take the apartment. We live there. Live there 1 month and we'll come here.
Did they tell you that it would be easy?
No, they said easy, but I will come. Not easy.
Mm.
Beating, everything. We know that's how we don't come.
Despite the assertions of the Polish Prime Minister, what's unfolding in the Białowieża Forest is horrific. And the activities of his border guard seem to contradict his claims that the crisis is over.
Where are you hiding from?
Because the helicopter.
So, the helicopter. So, is that searching for people in the forest?
Yes, yes.
It's coming closer. Try that. Is this normal for them to...
Mm-hmm. But what is normal?
If Prime Minister Morawiecki believes his border fence is keeping out all but, and I'll quote him here, very rare and individual cases, then why are his military helicopters scouring the border routinely in broad daylight as refugees cower, hungry and cold, hoping not to be spotted? Once they find themselves on the Polish side of the border fence, the refugees know they aren't welcome. But they all want to make it to Germany, where they've heard that the authorities are apparently more welcoming of asylum seekers. But the problem is that since countries like Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria wised up to Belarus's horrifying program of projecting asylum seekers from abroad into Poland, Belarus started looking further afield for new, unwitting recruits. On the 4th of August this year, Belarus, a country with no major diplomatic footprint outside of Eastern Europe and the Caucasus, opened a new embassy in Mumbai, India.
Good. Sorry, what is your name?
Muhammad.
Yes. Yeah.
How old are you?
You think I'm
22.
How's that?
Which part of India you are?
Haryana.
A press release issued by the new Belarusian consul in India, Anton Pashkov, said the new diplomatic mission would promote trade, investment cooperation, and touristic exchanges.
And then they'll catch.
Okay.
And then push back. Mm-hmm. Belarus army beating.
So, unlike the first group of migrants that arrived at the Polish border, the latest crop of asylum seekers to be unwittingly thrust into this horrific cycle of violence mostly come from Africa, Central America, and Southeast Asia. And that means that if they do somehow manage to get someone to send the $1,500 that smugglers demand to transport them onward to Germany, when they arrive, it's likely that they'll be refused asylum and deported back to their countries of origin. But the aid workers in the forest don't have the heart to dash the hopes of those trying to make it to Germany, because they know it's literally their only way out.
He going to Bola. Germany.
Germany, you want to go to Germany.
During the 2020 crackdown on opposition, which came in the wake of huge protests against the rigged 2020 election, many senior intelligence and security officers fled Belarus. Today, some of them operate an underground network of opponents to the regime and plan to orchestrate Lukashenko's removal in the foreseeable future.
Other Belarusians in exile include hundreds of officers who have defected, who created the secretive group known as BIPOL. Now they're biding their time, hoping to overthrow Lukashenko the next time Belarusians rally in protest.
Our guest in this episode is Alexander Azarov, a former lieutenant colonel of Belarus's main directorate against corruption. And today, he's the head of BIPOL. Episode 2 contains two interviews, and the first is with another important member of the Belarusian resistance movement who fled the crackdowns of 2020. Her husband wasn't so lucky and is currently locked up in a Belarusian prison for his opposition to the regime. Her name is Svetlana Chikatovskaya, and she's an important stakeholder in this discussion for another reason. She's the rightful president of Belarus, who hundreds of thousands of Belarusians took to the streets in support of when Alexander Lukashenko stole the 2020 presidential election.
The official figures show Lukashenko secured 80% of the ballots, his main rival, Svetlana Tikhanovskaya, winning just under 10%. Those numbers don't add up for opposition supporters. In the capital, they let authorities know it.
I'm Jack Wright, an Australian journalist based in New York City. I'm a contributor to the Washington Post and the Australian Financial Review and a former executive director of JP Morgan Chase. In this series of episodes of The Intersection, we're going to look at the conflict spreading through Eastern Europe from the perspective of a number of different crises, most of which are interconnected. And in a way, the crisis on the Poland-Belarus border is a good place to start sequentially too. Because as you're about to hear from Alexander Azarov, Vladimir Putin is behind the whole thing. Alexander, thanks so much for taking the time. To begin, would you mind giving us a bit of background on the positions that you held inside the Belarusian regime before you resigned and left for Poland?
I was head of the department of the main directorate for combating organized crime and corruption of the Ministry of Interior in Belarus. For 11 years, I had served at the central office of the Ministry of Interior.
So oftentimes in authoritarian regimes, the parts of the police force that investigate corruption and organized crime are used by the oppressive dictator to silence dissent. Did you experience any examples of being used as a political tool as opposed to a law enforcement tool while you were in that job?
В Білорусі в основному до виборів 20-го року
In Belarus, before the election of 2020, the fight against the opposition was mainly done by the KGB, the Committee for State Security. During the 2020 election, Lukashenko used all the law enforcement agencies to help him to rig election results and fight the opposition. Of course, there were cases when illegal, unlawful orders were given to me. to arrest opposition activists. There was a case when, together with other officers, I was given an order to arrest a political opposition activist. And we sabotaged and reported that we were not able to find this person. So throughout my service, I managed to find a balance and not to execute unlawful orders aimed against citizens of Belarus.
Mm. So what role do you believe Belarus played in orchestrating the crisis on the border between Poland and Belarus?
Вот и было установлено, что, к примеру, в МВД...
During my service in the police, when I was dealing with illegal migration issues, I heard about so-called Operation Gateway. There were cases when we, on our side, were arresting organizers of illegal migration across Belarus. But it turned out that these were officers from our border guard service, and they were just executing orders from their superiors as part of this Operation Gateway.
When, what year was this that we're talking about now, when the operation began?
2 года такими периодами.
It was in 2011.
Wow. Okay, yeah, please continue. I'd love to hear about more about this.
К примеру, в МВД мы знаем, что было три этапа.
These people were not brought to justice. There was an order to drop any investigation. They were released immediately after being arrested by us.
What sort of illegal activities were these security officers doing that they were then let off for? Could you describe what they were doing?
Вот, к примеру, мы знаем, что вот при последней чистке в только...
The scheme was the following. There's no border between Belarus and Russia, so Moscow was a transit point for these illegal migrants. Thousands of migrants from Pakistan, Afghanistan, Vietnam, and other countries were coming to Moscow, and there were international organized groups that transport these migrants to the European Union countries. The main purpose of the latest handmade crisis was to put pressure and to revenge the EU for introducing economic sanctions against the regime in Belarus, and also to put pressure on the EU to remove at least some of these sanctions.
And on this point, you mentioned Pakistan, Afghanistan. When I was there recently, I met with some refugees from far further afield. India, for instance. I noticed the Belarusian government opened a new embassy in India, I think maybe 2 years ago, and Belarus offered visa-free travel. Is this part of the same program? Are they opening these embassies and making it easy to travel so that they can attract refugees to push to the border?
Сейчас процветает доносительство, что создает...
I cannot claim that it is being planned, but as for them, they don't see any difference what kind of migrants they will be bringing to the European Union.
Okay. Thank you for describing the EU sanctions as a reason for doing this. So the next question is, are there other reasons? And I'll give you an example. Is it possible that this was coordinated with Russia to coincide with the invasion of Ukraine to make it more difficult to accept refugees in Poland? Or perhaps does Lukashenko want to keep Belarusian people inside Belarus? And so for encouraging Poland to build this wall actually helps him keep his people contained. Are those factors, you think?
Кроме того, в органах остались еще честные...
I don't have hard evidence for this, but it looks very logical. It might be part of a kind of common plan, first to create migration crisis and then to start a war.
Yeah. So... When I was at the border, I heard stories about the Belarusian guards beating the refugees over the fence in the middle of the night. I met one group who had been caught by the Polish guards 6 times and pushed back through the gate in the fence. And they say that the Belarusian guards hit them with batons and forced them to climb a ladder over the fence. Have you heard anything like this?
Well, team. Им очень тяжело работать и балансировать.
Yes, we had some information that migrants were covered by border guards or representatives of internal forces, and that they were kept not far from the border area, and border guards provided them with tools to destroy physically the border and later organized them to cross this border. I know that some of these migrants were severely beaten and hospitalized with injuries. There were also cases of dead bodies found in forests.
Mm. No, it's terrible. And what, to be clear, what they're saying to me now, the people that I met in the forest, are that that's still happening right now. That they're just being pushed back and forth and back and forth with no escape. How do you see the border issue evolving? Do you think that the changing battlefield in Ukraine, so the massive success of the Ukrainians, will change what's going on between Poland and Belarus, or is it just a completely separate issue?
Значит, мигранты попадают в Беларусь двумя путями.
As for now, migrants still come to the border, trying to penetrate to the EU. Border guards are being instructed to help them. Migrants get to Belarus through two routes. First, via Moscow. They are obviously helped by Russians. The second way is to go directly to Minsk airport. And for quite a time, I haven't heard about migrants going directly to Minsk airport. I think it is because of political pressure on countries of origin that had to stop flight connections with Belarus. All migrants now come from Russia. Coming from Russia means that they are under control of the FSB of Russia. Since 2014, when Russia annexed Crimea and Donbas, Russians introduced new way of waging war, hybrid war. And this is a part of hybrid war that Russia wages against the West.
What sort of network does BIPOL have inside the Russian state? How do you, just in general terms, communicate with your network there? And what sort of activities are you doing to try and encourage opposition?
We have our people in all state institutions and law enforcement bodies. A year and a half ago, we launched a specific plan, Перемога, Victory. As for now, we have 200,000 persons who joined our plan and declared their willingness to be part of it. We plan to put in action this plan on a specific day, preparing an action to restore the legal order and democracy in Belarus.
Let me interrupt for one moment. When he says a single action is coming, is he talking about an uprising, about a revolution? Like, is the idea that at some point in the foreseeable future, there will be a moment where they will instigate an uprising, or are we talking about something else?
We don't call it an uprising or a revolution. Even under the current legislation of Belarus, Lukashenko is committing a recurrent crime. He stays in power illegally, and every citizen has a right to stop this illegal activity, having even a duty to do so according to the current constitution.
Duty. And I agree 100%, to be clear, but I'm just trying to figure out the mechanics of if it's possible. So is it possible for Lukashenko to be ousted without getting the military on side, or do you need the military to effect a coup to get rid of him?
Ну, ми предугледжуємо взаємодію з військовцями, і Лукашенко, он сам...
We surely envisage the involvement of and cooperation with the military. And Lukashenko himself, on many occasions, repeated that he would not voluntarily relinquish power.
Last question. have there been any attempts on your safety? Does the Belarusian state go after activists like you outside of Belarus?
Руководители МВД неоднократно заявляли, что вышлют в Польшу группы ликвидации.
At the top of the Interior Ministry stated on a number of occasions that they would dispatch groups of killers to Poland to physically kill us. We even managed to reveal several agents of the Belarusian security agencies here in Poland. We also have heard about awards for those who would disclose our home addresses. But we try to take all necessary security precautions.
Are you worried?
Вас это турбує?
Ну, конечно.
Of course.
Okay, that's it for the first episode of Conflict in Europe. Stay tuned for episode 2 coming out on the Intersection podcast in the second week of October. Until then, I'm Jack Wright. Thank you for listening. Cheers.